I have a hard time just trying to assimilate everything and sort it all out. I don't know what's the matter with everybody. I can't come up with nothing, only it's just insanity. You know, this crazy world's upside down. Sin makes everything crazy. And we get our bearings from the Word of God. We can go back here to Isaiah. What we're looking at here was written thousands of years ago. Different time. Different nation. You know, different language. Everything different, but it's still the same. People are people. And sin is sin. It's affected the human race since the beginning, always, just like it does right now. And I read this and it encourages me. You're going to think I'm just being negative and critical and all that, and I'm not. I'm just looking around and telling you, look at what's going on. Look at what Isaiah said here that God said about him thousands of years ago when the same things. There's just a way. You know, it's a battle between good and evil. That's what's going on. Y'all understand that, don't you? We're in the middle of the battle of battles, the war of wars, and it's between Satan and God. Evil is bound and determined to overthrow God, a holy, good, loving God. They want rid of him. Man, you ought to, that fact alone ought to make you want to get as far from it as you can. Why in the world would you want to be identified in any way with that side of this battle? Not me. No, I want to draw nigh to God. You know, you listen to the words of that song that Seth just sang there, and you know, that come from somebody that I ain't got much doubt knew God. And they had hope, you see. They knew where they were going in spite of everything. And so let's read. Read with me here in Isaiah chapter 3. Let's read the first 15 verses. Let's try to do it. I'll try to do it real quick here. For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water, comma, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge, the prophet, and the prudent, and the ancient, the captain of 50, and the honorable man, and the counselor, and the cunning artificer, and the eloquent orator. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be an healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. For Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory. The shoe of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom, and they hide it not. Woe unto their soul! For they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. And as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err, and destroy the way of thy paths. The Lord standeth up to plead and standeth to judge the people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people and the princes thereof. For ye have eaten up the vineyard. The spoil of the poor is in your houses. What mean ye that ye beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor? Saith the Lord God of hosts. All right. Let's pray again. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. Oh, it's so clear. There's nothing to really dissect and decipher here. It's plain as it can be. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see that it's the same in our day. We're in this same situation. Same thing. Same devil. Pulled the same tricks. Used the same methods. Did it the same way. And he's done it to us. Please help us, Lord, today. As your people, I pray you'd encourage our hearts and help us, Lord, in this to understand. And pray you'd bless your word in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now there's a natural order created and ordained by God for all of His creation. I've preached a lot about that. That's one of the foundational things that I've learned. It's helped me to understand things so much better. God is a God of order. Anything that appears, you know, anything that He made is in order. The physical universe operates by the laws of physics. Did anybody go to school and learn that? Did you learn that in school? Do they still teach that, or do they give that up too? There are certain laws of physics. That's true science. You learn how things act and react. I mean, you put two things together, it does this. Every time. It's the law of physics. Now, anything that appears to be outside the law of physics is not. It is only outside the knowledge that man has of the law of physics. We've got a universe, we can't even see all of it. We can't sense it with our senses. They've never found the end. They've got things they can see on beyond what you can see with your eyes, but they still ain't found the end of it. And we do not, we're man. We're a worm, you know, the Bible talks about. We don't know everything. So when something appears to be different than the law of physics or going against the law of physics, it's not. And it's been proven over and over, that's true. It's just something they didn't know that they found out about, and now they can explain it. All right, now God's a God of order, and He's not the author of confusion. The Bible says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. The battle of good and evil is basically a battle to maintain God's proper order for things against the onslaught of Satan and all who are his to disrupt God's order. All right, now you with me? Stay with me here. That's what I'm saying to you. The whole thing, this battle between good and evil, is basically God's attempt to maintain order through His people, through the preaching of the Word and all of that, and through the knowledge of the Word of God, against the onslaughts of the devil and everybody that belongs to him and all of the demons of hell to disrupt God's order and turn it upside down. And that's fact. All morality is based upon God's order. Now, morals, that's not a physical issue. Morality is a spiritual issue. Sin is a spiritual matter, not a physical matter. Sin is manifested out in the physical, but it originates in the heart. Jesus said so, didn't he? Yes, he did. And so, the fact that God created man, male and female, is the basic building block of starting point for the moral law. I've struggled for a long time trying to figure out how to express this right so that it would be, so everybody else could see this also. But I see this. That matter right there is in the very beginning. God created man. Male and female created He then. I mean, that's the first thing He says. All of the creatures are male and female. It's a basic thing about nature. It's a basic thing about God's creation. And it's the basic starting point for moral law. Part of the twisted logic and reasoning of the modern age is to deny this basic law of nature by pointing, and the way they do it is they point to freaks and anomalies and say, well, see there? You know, I saw somebody the other day. I think Dakota's grandpa put a post up. He posted Deuteronomy 22:5, by the way. Of course, somebody can, yep, here they come. Well, now, it's just not that simple. It's not, I know there is, on the extreme ends of the scale, there's male and there's female. But you got, no, that's nonsense. What in the world? This is what I'm talking about right here this morning. See, that is the devil himself trying to convince people that it's not male and female. It's not as simple as that. It's just all fluid. And now we're to the point where, if you're a male and you think you're a female or want to be a female, everybody's got to call you her and she, and they got to let you in the boys' bathroom or girls' bathroom, whichever the other one is. And And we're supposed to not blink an eye, not think a thing about it. We're supposed to accept that as normal, right? That's what they're fighting for. That's what the issue is. There's people that just won't accept it. And they're going to cram it down our throats if they have to. Well, they're not going to. Not everybody. Here's one old boy, they ain't going to cram it down my throat. There's male and female. Now, you can point to a freak of nature, and I'm not being insulting. I'm just saying that's what it is. I seen a little cartoon the other day, and it was a tattooed woman and something else, and a bearded woman, I think it was, and the guy, it was a circus, and he said, "I'm sorry, but you guys ain't freaks no more." So, there you go, see? You know, here's the thing. Sin has cursed everything in this world, and it doesn't work perfectly as it did when God created it. There's things that happen that cause birth defects, problems, in every way. And that is something that went wrong, not right. It's not normal. We're not supposed to consider the abnormal normal. That's the same, I hear the devil's voice. He calls evil good and good evil. He wants to turn it all upside down. The battle between good and evil is to turn it upside down. It's to make evil good and good evil. I preach that to you a lot. Man, you ought to understand that. You ought to look at that around you and see that in everything that you see that's going on. This is a fixed and certain fact of nature. And since it is the beginning of moral law, it's the point where the devil aims most of his artillery. He attacks this matter more than anything else, more than anything else. He attacks it more than the authority of God's word. He attacks it more than going to church or being baptized or being saved. He attacks this. Because if he can win here, if he can get a stronghold here, it's done. It's a done deal. All morality collapses. Everything gets turned upside down. Everything's in confusion. Because this is the starting point for moral law. It's the weakest and the most vulnerable point for men and for women. Because it's a weak point for men because of the desire that God put in men for women. All right. And it's this, and because of the desire that sin puts in women to rule over the man. Hey man, Brother Mike. For all you listeners out there, there is somebody here. There's a few people here. You just can't hear them. But of these facts, both of them facts, make the devil's work very easy for him. Because women are that way and because men are that way. It just makes it real easy for him to work this thing. It's the weak point. It's the starting point. The foundational point for moral law. And it's the point the devil attacks the most. He wants to break it down. He wants to confuse it. He wants to turn it around and upside down. God laid it out very plainly, male and female, husband and wife, how it's supposed to be. I mean, we're told in the Old Testament, we're told in the New Testament about husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Wives, honor, you're supposed to obey your husband. You're supposed to reverence your husband. You're supposed to honor him. Like we're supposed to honor Christ. And that's the order. And it's right. And it's good. And it's where everybody's happy. And where everybody's treated like they're supposed to be with honor. But boy, the devil works on this more than anything. That's how he keeps women unhappy. He keeps men dissatisfied and unhappy. And it messes things up. So the first step in taking down God's order and creating chaos and confusion, which leads to destruction, is to systematically tear up this clear distinction between male and female and their proper roles and stations in life. So he does it. Y'all see how he does that. Get the long look. Look back in history and see. You can see it all through history. You can see it in the history of our country. You don't have to go back. You have to go back less than 100 years. And you can see what he's done. 100 years ago, women didn't vote in this country. 100 years ago, they didn't vote. What was the reason? Well, because a man and a wife were one. Because of the foundation of our society being biblical truth, and that God was the authority, God said that when a man and white woman are joined together, they're one. So why does she need to vote if they're one? Well, I'll tell you why. So she can vote against her husband and nullify his say in this government, in the way our country's run, in the way it's going. You see what's happened? Yeah. Well, it didn't stop there, though. I mean, 100 years ago, you could tell the difference between a man and woman at a mile away. You could look a mile away, and you could tell if it was a man or a woman. That is true. Now you can't. Yeah. Do I need to say some more about that? I mean, well, a lot of you come a long way, baby. Yes, sir, boy. Come a long way. Sure have. Things are so much better now. I saw the other day, Bill Gates said that the world is a better place now than it has ever been in all of history. Now, you talk about delusion. I don't care if he's got $100 billion. He is out of his ever-loving mind. He's living in an illusion. What are you talking about? The blood that's flowing on this earth right now, and the evil that's being done in the habitations of darkness right now, I mean, it makes the past look like a fairy tale or a story. In the first place, there's way more people on the earth right now than there ever were back then. Been reading about all the child abductors and the human trafficking, that's what they call it, going on. And you better hang on to your kids and all of this. If it's such a wonderful place, why is all that going on? And all of it's happened because it started back here. When things are in order, you don't even have to lock your doors when you leave your house. When things are in order, people are happy. And homes don't get broken up except through death. You know, that's the thing I've realized. Years ago, people did die a lot more and a lot younger. We can go back through our family. We can find a lot of them where the wife died young or the husband died young. And the family was, you know, a lot of families, like Brother Owen's family, had six of one and seven of another. His mom was a widow. His dad was a widower. And they got married and they had all these kids and everything. And it was a mixed family, but it wasn't because of immorality and divorce. It's because of death. That's a big difference. There's a whole big difference there in the children when that happens. It can be a good thing that way, but when it's divorce and immorality and they're fighting all the time and they see mama with somebody else and daddy with somebody else and then somebody else and then somebody else and somebody else, and you think it don't affect the children? It's the male and female thing. It goes back to that every time. Don't you see what I'm talking about? And the devil knows this. Isaiah mentions here, in the first here, the breakdown of society and as it's heading to judgment. And he mentions first that the food and water, the very basic necessities of life, are removed. Now, listen to me close here. It looks to me as if he might not be talking specifically about literal bread and water, but about the basic order of society, because he goes directly to talking about the breakdown of the order of their society in the same sentence and line of thought. There's even not even a break in the sentence except for a comma. Food and water cut off. Well, they're still going. They still got food and water. What he's talking about is, I'm going to tell you that here's the very basic needs of society, of a people. For people to live together in a country, in a land, you got to have these things, and these are the first things that are being taken away. The men are made irrelevant, and are missing from their place in society. That's the first thing. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 2. Read this. The mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man, the counselor, the cunning artificer, and the eloquent orator. They're all gone. They're gone. You can't find them. You can't find a mighty man. You can't find a man of war. You can't find a judge. You can't find a prophet. You can't find anybody that's prudent, got any sense, got any wisdom about them. The leaders and all of that, they're gone. Mighty men are strong, valiant men, men of courage and moral integrity. And they're gone. Are they kind of, you kind of sense that they're gone in our day? Wow. You know, we're crossing a line here pretty soon. We're crossing through this zone where we're going to get out of reach of the past. See, what I'm saying to you is like all these World War II veterans, they're just about gone. We were talking yesterday about Seth had somebody come and he was to buy a log from him. He was a helicopter pilot and he works for the medevac, and he was telling Seth how in dire need they are of pilots because they can't find any. And I told him, I said, yep, the Vietnam helicopter pilots are off the grid now. They're old and passing off the scene. They're too old to do that now. For years, we had them. For all these other years, we had those World War II men from the greatest generation. We had men. We had men of war. We had mighty men. And we don't have them now. That's right. We got little baggy pants, floppy-eared, half-feminine creatures. They ain't even men. They ain't got no backbone. They ain't got no understanding about anything. All they live in is their lust and pornography and their drugs and laziness and their games. They play war, but they ain't no warrior. Mighty men, where are we going to get any? What are we going to do without them? People who think women can fill the place of mighty men are going to find out how important they are when the enemy comes in like a flood. I'm telling you, male and female basic. Starting point of all morality. Very basic to the health and function and the continuity of a people. When it's all messed up, we're done. We're just about done. We're just about done. You think a woman can just fill the shoes of a mighty man, you got another thing coming. There's something wrong with your thinking. You don't know some things. Men of war are necessary. They're a necessary part of society. Women, by nature, do not think in those terms. Now, I don't care if you don't agree with me or not. And if you want to get 100 people that don't agree with me, it's not going to faze me one little bit. I still got my senses. And I've been living 61 years and I kind of know how it works. And I read my Bible and I know how God means for it to work. And nature is nature. And I got nothing against women. I'm all for women being women. And I got nothing against men. I'm for men being men. I think it ought to be that way. I think men ought to be men and women ought to be women. And I think men ought to take care and respect and love and honor the women. And I think women ought to honor and respect the men. And they ought to appreciate them for what they are. Not try to emasculate them and make them into something that's unnatural and unholy. Women don't think in terms of war. Now, here's how it works. Men make judgments and they make decisions and they're prepared to fight for it if necessary. That's always on the table. It's always an option for men. Now, that's the way men think. They don't always make their choices right. They don't always make their choices for the right reasons. They don't always make their judgments according to God's counsel and God's wisdom. They're not always right, but they'll fight. I don't care if they are right or not. When they decide, when they choose, it's going that way, or I'll fight you. And you try to stop me, and I'll fight you. Women don't think like that. Women demand and protest and blackmail. But men will fight you. Yeah, and if they can't beat you this way, they'll get something they can beat you with. Men go to war. Men of war. Men of war. We got to have them. We won't survive without them. Women do not understand that, just like the issue the other night. You know, women do not understand. It's not in their nature. God didn't make them that way, and it's not wrong. They just don't think like that. But here's where the division comes up, and here's where the problem comes up. The devil mixes everything up so that the women are in here having a say-so in a place where they shouldn't be having a say-so. The women should not decide when and if we go to war. They don't have to fight it, and they cannot fight it. And they say, well, they're in there doing it. Well, we're going to see how that works. We ain't fighting no wars. We're just playing around, playing games. And when it comes down to really, really fighting wars, we sit on, a woman can sit in a little room under a mountain in Colorado and push her keyboard keys and blow somebody up over there. She can sit on a ship in a little secret room somewhere offshore and do the same thing. But she can't take a sword and carry a 150-pound backpack and go a-stabbing and a-slashing and a-shooting and a-fighting and a-thotting. Uh-uh. No. I mean, if you think that, you are foolish. We got to have men of war. And when they're gone, you women need to understand what the enemy does with women who have no protector, who have no men of war to protect them. You need to understand and study about that just a little bit. It ain't nice, let me tell you. The prophet, gone. Prophet's a man always, by the way, in the Bible. And he's gone, on. And when he's silenced or made irrelevant, there's no guide, no compass, no voice for God heard in the land. Men need prophets. Women need prophets. They need men who will stand for God and speak the truth and challenge and reprove and rebuke and exhort about God and righteousness and the right way to go and the right way to run things. But when they're shut up, we're just adrift. We ain't got nothing but like that All Faith book I talked about the other night, just a bunch of blank pages. They replaced the Bible with an All Faith book on one of those military memorials. Just a book of blank pages. Well, that's a pretty good test, a pretty good example of what I'm talking about here. When the prophet's gone, there's no guide, no compass, no voice for God. The prudent and the ancient, the voices of reason are silenced. What we got going on now? In our politics, our country, our government, our news media, what's going on? Where's all this hate coming from? And what's all this bickering and fighting and insulting and undermining and all of this? Who's involved in this? Is it mighty men? Is it prudent men? Huh? Who is mostly involved in it? Go ahead. Somebody say it, or I'm going to. Women. Yeah. Nancy Pelosi, does she look like a man of war? Does she look like a mighty man? Does she act like one? Does she act like a prudent man? What about the rest of them? What's some of the rest of those goofy people's names? What's that woman, that black woman that's just insane? Well, Dianne Feinstein's one, but Barbara Walters? Waters, Barbara Waters, yeah, yeah, Waters. There's a Barbara Walters, too, and she's just about that bad. But anyway, Barbara Walters, I mean, good night. You don't have to have much discernment to look at her and say, something wrong there. That's the way women do. That's the way women fight. Amen. Men don't fight that way. And you can squelch them and you can make them irrelevant and you can crush them down so far, but when it comes to the end of everything, you're going to find them again. Yeah, you will. And if the day's ever saved, it's going to be them who save it. Yes, sir. Well, women demand and protest and blackmail, but a man will fight you. And let me tell you something, that makes a great difference when an enemy's approaching to destroy you and take all that you have. And you can take all of this and you can apply it in your home. Y'all hear me? You can apply it in the church. You can apply it at work, on a job. You can apply it in the military. You can apply it as in our country, our government. At every level, you can apply every bit of this. That's just how it is. I know it's offensive. Everything I say is offensive to everybody now because everybody's so filled with the world. But a woman, bless her heart, cannot speak with authority. Now, she can say things and she can run her mouth and she can be like Judge Jeannie. She can be like Governor of Alaska, Sarah Palin. You can be that kind of a woman. Barbara Waters, Nancy Pelosi. You can be like that. Obama, Michelle Obama, you know, but you can rant and rave and you can say things that are true. But people really do not take you seriously. They don't take you near as seriously as a man saying it. That's what the problem is right now in our country. Y'all understand that? It's not just in our country, but in the world. And, you know, I tell you often, I mean, I'm no fan. Politics is a thing that I'm not even really interested in. It's all wicked and wrong. But here's what's going on. We've got a man president and he's got a backbone and he's acting like a man. And that's the offense. And that's why they hate him. He is just saying what he means and means what he says, and he ain't a backing down, and they can't scare him, and they can't make him back up, and they can't make him apologize, and when he says he's going to do something, he does it. And they can't stand that. But that's what it takes to make things work in a home. In a home! That's why things are in such a mess with the children. That's why we got a generation that is absolutely lost. No dad. There's no man in the house. They may be a neutered male there, but there ain't no man. Mama runs things, and mama calls the shots, and daddy is just a stupid, worthless. Yeah. He drinks his beer, and he looks at his pornography, and he goes and plays his games, whether it's hunting or fishing or racing or whatever. Just don't pay no attention to him. That's how it is. Oh, well, let me hurry up here. Captain of the prudent angel, voices of reason, they're silenced. Captain of 50, that's leaders. Those are capable of using authority with responsibility. Those kind of men are gone. I'm not trying to exalt ungodly men. I'm not trying to say that men are always right. And men should always, you know, men are just as ungodly as women are. We're all in the same. You know, we're all that way. I mean, as far as the human race is what I'm talking about. Men, if they're not godly men, they're not honorable. You know, they're not worthy of honor and all of that. Yeah. But this is the order that God created for us all. The honorable men, the counselor, the cunning artificer. That's men who can make things and fix things and invent things. And you haven't realized they're gone yet. You haven't realized that. We had them in World War II because in those 4 years there, this country invented, I mean, grubbed out of the ground the steel and made, manufactured, and it's miraculous. It's unbelievable. If you read how many ships, how many airplanes, how many tanks, how many guns, how much ammunition, how much war equipment they made in those years, coming right out of the deep depression, the Great Depression. But they knew how to do it. We were talking yesterday back here about motors they made for the airplanes and stuff, engines that they built with a slide ruler and a piece of paper and a pencil. You know, and they won the war. Our manufacturing has all been disassembled and hauled overseas. We don't manufacture much anymore. Our industrial power is gone. We've been gutted as a nation. And if we were isolated and then cut off and besieged, we're done. We're done. We couldn't do it on our own anymore because the cunning artificer is gone. The eloquent orator, men that can speak with wisdom and authority and move people with truth, they're gone. We got a bunch of hucksters and a bunch of entertainers and a bunch of panty-waist preachers that won't tell the truth. I was listening to one of them the other day. It just makes me so mad when I hear somebody talking to thousands of people and lying to them like that. It just makes me mad. And you say, well, you're wrong. No, I'm right. And it ought to make you mad. Something wrong with you if it don't make you mad to hear somebody lying to people and deceiving their souls. With all this great element of society silenced or done away with, what's left? Well, let's look for a minute here. The scripture shows us here. Let me say this. Women are instrumental in the destruction of manhood, thinking they will take their place. But they don't take their place because they cannot. So there's a great void left. You get rid of the men. There's some feminists actually declaring that all men should be killed. Yes, openly. Verses 4 and 5. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. Where's the women? Where's the women that was taken over? Where's the women that knew how to do it? Where's the women that could do anything a man could do? Children are ruling over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient and the base against the honorable. Everything's turned upside down. Everything's anarchy. Everything's out of control because the men are gone. It takes the men to keep evil put down, simply. All men are not good men. All men are not honorable men. All men are not godly men, for sure, for sure. But it takes the men. We got to have men. We got to have mighty men. We got to have men of war. We've got to have these men. It's got to be a part. And it's been under attack by the devil for 100 years in this country. Instead, children become princes and babes rule over the land. That's what we got happening right now. These young babes are running for office and winning as communists and socialists. Running as communists and winning. They're going to rule over us and give everything to everybody for free. And they have no idea where the money's coming from. Y'all seen this young woman up there that's running? That's won. I mean, she's a socialist. Going to give everybody free health care, free education, free college, free guaranteed income. Everybody, I mean, just going to take care of everybody. Where are you going to get the money? She won't talk about it. She refuses to debate anybody. Children rule over them. If your kids could run your house, how would it be? If they just had the checkbook, the debit card, if they just had the password to your Amazon account, no restraint whatsoever. Where are you going? What's going to happen to you? You ain't kidding, you're going to go under. Y'all see where that little 6-year-old kid the other day got on there and ordered $350 worth of stuff off of Amazon, I think, for himself. 6-year-old kid. Children ruling over him. Children ruling. Where's the women? How come the women can't keep children in control? Yeah, they ain't home. Yeah, they're busy somewhere else, doing something else. Busy with their lives. They're down at the gym. They're down at the, they're down at the beach. They're off on some vacation somewhere. They're at some women's church meeting somewhere, listening to some woman preach to them. They're going to
open up all of our borders and take down all of our protections and take away the guns from everybody so we can't protect ourselves.
That's what the children do when they get in control.
Isaiah chapter 3, verse 5. And the people should be oppressed, every one by another and every one by his neighbor. And the child should behave himself proudly against the ancient and the base against the honorable.
Mess, what a mess. Everybody's oppressing one another. Everybody's taking advantage of one another. Ain't nobody treating nobody right anymore. And nobody can stop it and nobody can do anything about it. Because it's anarchy. You got rid of the mighty men, remember? You got rid of the men of war. You got rid of the men of wisdom and prudence. You got rid of everybody. You got rid of the prophet. He's the only one going to say, this is wrong. You better stop it. God's going to judge you. Got rid of him. Shut him up. Replaced him with some little panty-wearing, soft-speaking sissy that the women love. And so now, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? You ain't got nobody to stop it. Does it make sense to you, dog? Oh, well. So it's pretty easy to see the devil's plan for our destruction. He uses the same plan every time, and it works for him every time. His plan begins with creating confusion and dissatisfaction between the genders. Verse 12, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. The women rule over the men, but they don't rule over anything else. Do you get it? They can't take care of everything else, but they can rule over the men. Boy, they can make him toe the line. Boy, I know, man. Ain't this going over like a lead balloon? All right. Satan works both sides. I'm just about done here. We're doing good. Satan works both sides. He incites a war between the sexes, the genders. And he works both sides. See? Trying to be balanced in this because I always get accused of attacking the women, but I don't, you know, that's just part of our society, the way it is and the atmosphere now. If you say anything about women, you're against women. What's the word? Misogynic. There you go, misogynist. I am a misogamist by every definition of that they've got now. Because I just believe men ought to be men and women ought to be women. I think that's the honorable way, the godly way, the right way. I think it's the way that everything works. And I think it's the way that everybody's happiest when it's that way. Women are not mistreated when things are right. That's right. You know, women in this country get treated better than anywhere else in the world. And it is simply because of there's no other reason except Bible-believing Christianity. That's what has made it better for them than anywhere else in the world. They get put in their proper place and treated in their proper role. And they're honored for it. And their life is better and happier and much more fulfilling. Can't have it that way, though, because the devil's saying, here, look at this fruit. Look over here. Who's he saying it to? The men?
Well, he works both sides. Let me say it real quick here, try to run through this. He works on the men through their lusts. That's why pornography's saturated our whole country and everybody's minds. At the same time, he's working on the women through their clothing. Somehow, and I wish that some of you women could enlighten me about this and help me with this because I don't understand. I mean, I'll admit to you, I don't understand. Somehow, Satan is able to convince women that they are somehow liberated and empowered by showing their nakedness and cross-dressing like a man, and wearing what's comfortable for them. Somehow they're empowered. Somehow they're liberated by flashing it before men who are lusting after them. You're the bait, don't you get it? You're the worm on his hook. You're gullible for believing that. You're not making yourself anything. You're just being used by the devil. You're being used by the men who are lusting after you and the one that gets you. Maybe I'm missing something, but boy, listen. I know the devil works on the men through their lust for the women. And he works on the women to get them to think they're doing something more and making themselves better and they're stepping up by being immodest and sexy in front of the men. And the devil is orchestrating it all. He's simply using them as bait to incite the lust of the men and get their minds so polluted and preoccupied with their lust that they're good for nothing else. That's all their mind's on. They don't ever think about being a cunning artificer. They don't ever think about building, doing anything, standing for anything, learning anything. They don't think about directing their family or the future of their life here. All they're thinking about is just like a dog. Or an old bull in the pasture. Or like a rooster in the hen house. And that's where we're degraded to. By the devil working on both sides here, see? Men become immoral first in this matter. And then in all other matters. So they become unfit to be mighty men. Men of war. Honorable men, judges, prophets, or prudent, or anything else that involves ruling and overseeing things. What brought David down? Somebody, answer me. What brought David down? A woman. What was she doing? You think for a minute that she didn't know he was there? I don't believe that at all. I think she knew he was there. He knew she was there. I mean, it was an orchestrated thing. Yep. What caused Abraham the greatest problems in his life? A woman. And it wasn't her. I'm not saying it's her fault. Her fault. I'm saying this is how it works, see? His lust and her baiting. Being used for the bait. You want me to go on and on? Moses had trouble over a woman. Joseph stood up. He's one of the only ones in the Bible that I can point you to and say, now there's a man that didn't let a woman ruin him. Didn't let his own lust ruin him. See? But for the most part, that's what happens, ain't it? Men become immoral first in this matter, and then they lose all their morals because this is the matter that is the basis, the pillar upon which all morality rests. That's so important right there. I don't know how I could say it any plainer. But when you knock the props out of sexual morality, then everything else falls. It goes to, you know, this all happened in my lifetime here in this country here. Remember in the 60s, the hippies and the free love and all of that? Remember? Some of you don't because you're all way younger than I am. Dad does, you know. I guess the rest of you don't. Wow. Well, that's what happened. Got the birth control pill, and then you didn't have to worry. All before that, there was this thing hanging over your head, you know, a baby's going to come from this. But we got that problem taken care of now. And then that wasn't good enough. We got abortion 10 years later. And so now if the pill don't work, we can just cut them up with a butcher knife and throw them in the trash. We can still do what we want. We can still be anybody anytime we want. We don't have to worry about any consequences. So that kind of throwing the props out of the morality in that issue. Now look where we've went to. Look where we're at now. Violence. Sodomy. Pedophilia. Bestiality you read about in the news all the time now. Read your Bible and see what they were doing in the land of Canaan when God said, go in there and kill everything that's breathing. Babies, children, women, kill them all. You said, God said, yes, he did. They were so filthy and so defiled and so polluted with disease and filthiness, there was no saving them. When Moses was still alive, the children of Israel, they had this battle and they brought in these, some of the heathen of the land, they brought in a bunch of their stuff and a bunch of the people in with them back to the camp. Moses said, whoa, what do you think you're doing? You don't bring them and you don't bring that stuff into the camp. And it had to pass through the fire, or it had to pass through the water. If it couldn't abide the fire, it had to pass through the water. Had to be cleansed of the filth before it could be brought in. And then the only people that could be salvaged was the young women who had never known a man. That was it. The rest of them were polluted. All right, men become immoral first in that issue. And then they get to the place where they're unfit to be a mighty man, a man of war, any of that. I mean, that's my point, see? It ruins them. It's what brings them down. It's what makes them useless in any of the business that men are to be about. When they got their minds so occupied with that, they're distracted. It's a common tactic in warfare and in, you know, to do that. Women play a big part. They always have. In these wars and in this counterintelligence and all of that, they put a woman in there and she can get her done because a man will fall for it. It's his weak point. It creates a void. When the men are not fit, it creates a void, sometimes by necessity. And the women move in to fill it. And women can do things that is not their place or responsibility to do when it's necessary. In World War II, the women went to work in the factories because they just had to. We were about to lose our country. And they had to, and they did it. But that's not the norm and not the way for people to continue in the long term. When the war was over, they should have went back home. And everything should have returned to normal. The men should have come home, took the jobs back, everything put back in order. But didn't quite happen that way, did it? No. That's the evil when it's made the norm and when the abnormal is made the normal. You see what I'm are you listening to me? With the men silenced and irrelevant, and since they have nothing on their minds but their lust, because of all the nakedness around them, the women lose their way completely also. They're never really satisfied living in a man's world, and they just make a shipwreck of their life. Y'all look around you, man. Yeah, I do. I look at, when we go to town or somewhere, I see all these women going up and down the aisles and in their cars, and they all got this furrowed brow, and they're not happy. A lot of them are just so hateful and mean and dissatisfied and they're not happy. I've even heard, I think maybe Esther's talking about it but the women that work now, they have to work. And a lot of them don't want to now. Some of them begin to wake up and realize, what have these feminists done to us? I want to stay home with my babies. But I got to work because society's been retooled now to take all that into account, see? So now they have to work. You don't really. There's a way. There's a way. Women have a God-given desire to have children and to be a mother. And that conflicts with trying to be a man also. Trying to fill a man's shoes while you got these feminine desires that are natural and God-given, you got a conflict in your life. You got a battle that's troubling you. Amen. It's why when you're young, you kids, look, I preach this to hoping and praying that you get it and that you'll be wise and that when you grow up and you get married, that you'll order your life ahead of time so that you can live in God's order and not fall into the trap and be drug into the world and its ways of doing things. So you girls can have babies and stay home with them. And you boys can work and make a living and provide. And yeah. And you know, here, let me just throw this in here. I'm not so dogmatic that I can't see how it is sometimes. I mean, the way everything is, sometimes you just got to for a while. But I mean, it ought to be your goal to work your way out of that and try to get things in order in your life. Let me tell you something, men, you ought to do all you can to make that possible for her. Because if you want a happy life, you got to have a happy wife. Everybody wears these shirts around saying that, don't they? It's true. You want her to be happy? Let her be what God made her to be. Provide and make a way for her to do that. And if you can't right now, Be thinking how I can do that. And I'd rather eat beans and cornbread and nothing else and be able to do that. I'm just telling you how it is right now, and some of you, most of you, my family and everything, but if I had it to do over, she would never, never, Lord have mercy, go to work. I'm telling you. All right. Let me hurry up here. I just got about this much right here, and then I'll be done. They're just not satisfied. They struggle so hard, I'm talking about the women, to try to manifest manly traits and character that it keeps them in an inferiority mindset all the time. So they become hostile in their attitudes and character. You don't know what's wrong with women. They're trying to be a man. They're trying to act like a man. It's funny to me that these feminist and feminine-minded women, they honor and respect in a woman the very character traits that they despise in a man. She's got to be strong. And she's got to be decisive. And if a man's that way, they hate him. But if a woman's that way, they say, "Ah, the way to go, girl." Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And women got all this pressure, see, to be something that God didn't make them to be. That they really, in their heart of hearts, don't want to be. That's right. I believe that's right. And so they got this inner struggle in themselves and no peace because they feel the pressure of the world. And you get out there and run with that crowd of people who believe like that, who believe that, you know, liberated and all that, empowered makes me sick. What a stupid word. And you get that in your mind and thinking, well, I got to be this. I mean, all the women make it hard on other women who do stay at home with their kids, who do act like ladies and dress right and feminine. The ungodly women make it hard on them. So they got this struggle. I mean, women have a hard way to go in our day because we've made it impossible for them. Men can go ahead and act like men. They can get up here and say things like I'm saying here today, but nobody likes them and nobody will listen to them. And everybody just writes them off as stupid, ignorant. Ain't nobody going to listen to him. He's a fool. Relic of the past. It'll be gone long. It won't be long, and all of the people like me be gone. You can have it. You'll have your world. The voice of the prophet will be silenced. They won't nobody be saying this stuff no more. Ain't hardly saying it now. Amen. So if you don't like it, sit tight. It won't be long. You'll have it your way unless something happens here. The children are lost because they have nothing to look to or to aspire to that has any real meaning or value. When I was a little boy, I wanted to be a man. I wanted to grow up and work and be tough and be a man. I didn't. You know, to be called a sissy was fighting words when I was a boy. That was enough to fight you. Call me a sissy. I wouldn't wear flip-flops. I wouldn't wear shorts when I was a kid because, no, good night. sissy. And don't bother. Most of you don't bother. You doesn't. So common now. Yeah. I see people out in these parks and stuff, and I look at over there, and I think, what's a man? It's a woman with a skirt and a man with a pair of pants on. No, the woman's got the pants. The man's got the shorts that are real blousy and looks like a skirt. I've seen it over and over. I look over and say, man, what an ugly woman. And no, it's a man. It's a man. No, it ain't. It's a messed up world. Children suffer because of it. A little boy needs a dad. He needs a man's influence in his life. He needs the roughness. Yeah, that mama won't let him have. Oh, my baby is yours. Mamas ruin little boys. Mamas make little boys, it's your job to make them into men, not worthless little emasculated nothings. You better let him get knocked around a little bit. You better let daddy be rough on him a little bit if you want him to be a man. Little girls need to be treated different too. Little girls don't need to be treated rough. They don't need daddy to holler at them. They don't need daddy to beat on them. You know, I mean, they got to have their discipline and all of that too, but you got to do different with a little girl than you do with a little boy. Now, you do. That's right. I'm not saying little girls are sugar and spice and everything nice. No, you know, I know. I've had 3 girls and 3 boys. Somebody the other day said, how many grandkids you got? I said, 12. And they said, well, how many girls and boys? And I had to stop and think. And I counted it all up, and we got 6 and 6. So we're split right down the middle. So I kind of know. That is true. Children need, a little girl needs to have a mama that's a lady, that's godly, that's chaste, that's modest in all of her ways. She needs to have other women around her to look up to aspire to. Little boys need to have men around them to aspire to. Godly men, not base, lewd fellows. Society's broken as a whole, and the land mourns and is getting prepared for judgment. And then the last thing I want to say is there's got to either be a real awakening and turning back to God and His ways, and a real and thorough return to God's order, or the inhabitants of a land like ours will be destroyed and another people will take their land. It's what happened to Israel. It's what happened to the Canaanites before them. It's what's happened over and over and over through all of the ages. You can, if you know anything about history, you ought to understand that. We're at the threshold of it right now. And the only way that things are going to change is if an enemy comes and destroys us and takes our land. Or if we wise up and wake up and start putting things in order. Get our house in order. And it starts with people just like us in a place like this on the Lord's day when you've heard what God says. Yeah. I haven't just given you a bunch of my opinions. I read it to you right out of the Bible. This is the basic for everything I said. And it wouldn't be, you know, if it was 50, 60 years ago, nobody would have thought a thing about what I've said this morning. Right? 100 years ago, they'd have said, why are you preaching that shallow stuff that everybody knows? Why are you preaching on that? Yeah. But it is kind of strange in the time we're living in. I stand. I understand. You, each one of you, look at your life. You men, you boys, look at what you are. Where do you fit? Not all men are mighty men. Not all men are men of war. I never was in the military or anything like that. But I sure do respect the ones that were and are.
Right, can I say something?
Yeah.
A while ago, you mentioned about you wearing shorts. You never did. You come
mad honest because my brother went to Greene County High School in Perryville, Arkansas. And they was going to make him wear shorts to dress out for PE, and he refused. And they had to take it home to the school board, and he beat them.
Yeah. Trying to make him wear shorts back in the 50s. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well. I know there's people here that don't see nothing wrong with that. I don't know what you're talking about. What's your problem? Yeah, I know. But you didn't grow up in the same world I did. And it's very possible you may not have read part of the Bible I've read, too. Maybe. All right. I appreciate everybody being here. I'd like to know where you stand. Like, know where you're going in this matter here, you know. You men, you need to keep your eyes and your heart pure and your mind. And you women need to understand that the men have a real hard battle with this. Because it is everywhere you look. Maybe you don't notice it, but the guys, I guarantee you every male in this room knows what I'm talking about. You can't look at nothing. You can't go nowhere. You can't turn your head without you see it. I'm talking about women. Immodest, scantily clad. And not only that, but now it's such an ungodly, immoral, lustful atmosphere that the women are doing the same thing. It's more than just the immodesty. It's the, you know, man, they'll look at you and they'll just, you know, it's terrible. Men have a real battle. You need to understand that. If you're married, you need to help your husband about that. You need to be considerate of that. And the men need to understand that the women's got to struggle too, because they've had all this pressure put on them they don't need and they shouldn't have. They ought to be free to live as a godly woman and do and be what God made them to be. And they shouldn't feel guilty, pressured, shamed, embarrassed about it whatsoever. Let's just do right. Let's just do right before God. I know it's hard for all of us. Men and women. That's what I said all the way through this. The devil's working both sides of this thing, boy. He's working on both sides. It ain't the women's fault and it ain't the men's fault. It's all of our faults. We all need to just do right.
Yes, sir. Women put on some clothes, though, they get a lot more respect.
Yes, sir. I preach a lot about that. You know, women don't understand how differently men look at you when you dress modest than... The women may make fun of you and shame you, but you don't need to pay attention to them. The men don't feel that way at all. Well, I love y'all. I do. I'm just trying to help you, man. I really am. I ain't got no axe to grind, and I ain't trying to make no name or nothing. It's just that I just want you to be wise in this world we're living in, man. It's treacherous and dangerous for all of us, men and women. And I'm just trying to help you, show you how this thing works. Try to get you to keep in mind. You know how it works, really. I mean, just keep it in mind. And you're dealing. Be mindful of one another. Men treat women right. And women treat the men right. Help us. Help us. Amen. All right. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll be dismissed. Now, Lord, we thank you for the Word of God and thank you for what we've talked about here this morning, the truths. And, Lord, I know it's totally against the grain and I of our society. And I know most everybody in here agrees with what was said here this morning, but it's hard for us to stand up with this out in the world we live in because we receive so much criticism and rejection because of it. But it's the truth, and it's your truth, and it's your way, and these are the ways that you mentioned here, that these who led them, taught them, had led them to err because they led them away and destroyed your paths. Lord, please help us to to just lean on your heart and know and understand what you'd, the way you'd have us to live, and help us, Lord, to be mindful of one another, men and women, and help us to treat one another in a way that pleases you, in Jesus' name. Amen.